Thank you, Bev. I've always been interested in Peterson's translation of the Message. As was mentioned, his congregation was finding it difficult to read the Bible, and they found it confusing, which is certainly possible and most likely to happen. It's a big bunch of books written by different people, and it can be confusing. And so he decided to translate it into American, like not just into contemporary language. He specifically aimed at for his congregation. He was a Presbyterian minister in Maryland for decades, and so he wanted it to be understandable to his people. And let's face it, there isn't that much difference between American and Canadian, other than the occasional U thrown in some of our spellings. So it's a really interesting translation. It's well worth taking a look at because he brings out some very different things than we might first think. And so as I was looking at our texts, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. And the thing that actually got me more than anything else was the very last verse of our gospel lesson, John 10. And it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And the way I learned it, and it's still stuck in my head, whether I want it there or not, is that they might have life and live it abundantly. And so the sermon title is sort of Abundance. What does that mean? And so we'll take a step back and look at the whole shepherd thing first of all, because I've said it before, and I'm no doubt will say it again. We have not been well served by Sunday school illustrations, where we have, well, first of all, generally a white Jesus, which is problematic in and of itself. We have all these sheep that are clean as a whistle, and we have Jesus holding a lamb, usually, or something like that. And it's not these pictures. Well, okay, the white part is just untrue, but what we don't really get from that picture is that shepherds were not particularly esteemed in that culture. Not as bad as in Egypt, where they were considered essentially untouchable by Egyptians, which is why if you go back to Exodus, the end of Genesis, Exodus, you'll see why the Israelites were allowed to take care of sheep. But even in Jesus' time, shepherds were not high esteemed people. If nothing else, one of the other problems with the picture of Jesus doing the shepherding is that men almost were never shepherds. Shepherds tended to be women or young people. Like David was a shepherd, but he was the youngest of eight children, like eight sons. So of course you sent him out there. Because being a shepherd was an unpleasant job in many ways because you had to take care of sheep. And taking care of sheep is a lot of work because sheep, bless them, are not very bright. They do foolish things on an ongoing basis. They follow each other in lockstep when they're going in the wrong direction. They scatter all over the place when you want them to go, when they start going in the right direction. It's as if they have been created as a metaphor for everything that can go wrong in a group of people, which is not the case. They're just sheep. And so one of the things that we see in John, and it's alluded to in the others, is that we are sheep. We're sheep and we're shepherds. So not only are we the ones that go in the wrong direction, not only are we the ones that don't listen, that get lost, that think that something's better on the other side of the fence on a regular basis, we're also the people who take care of these dopey sheep of which we are one. And so we have this sort of both and. Depending on what your Sunday school is like, you probably grew up thinking that we were sheep being cared for by this striking white Jesus with long hair. And instead, we're also the shepherd. We're called to be both. We're not Jesus, of course, but we're Jesus' hands and feet. And Jesus caring, we see that all over the place in the Gospels, where Jesus talks to his disciples in language that says, you are going to do things. And one of the ways I'll know you're my disciples is the things that you do, which is taking care of the poor, orphans, widows, strangers, people in prison, sheep, in all of their glory." So what does this shepherd lead us to? What's the point of a shepherd? And you might think that's a foolish question, but sometimes it's worth stepping back and thinking for a moment. Like, what did a shepherd actually do? Why did you need one? Well, I think we know. Passage of scripture talks about a gate to get into a sheep pen, which is obviously the case, at least sometimes. But often, sheep were just out there. You know, they were just great, sort of open grazed wherever they could find room for them. And so you've got the responsibility of any number of sheep, and as far as I can tell, two is at least two too many sheep if you're trying to get them to do something. And however many sheep there are, you, as the shepherd, are responsible for them. And you are maybe 12 years old. And you're maybe a girl, which means you've got virtually no status whatsoever. And you have to spend all your time with sheep that are not as clean and lovely as they are in the illustrations, because sheep only look like that after they've been properly washed, and they didn't really wash sheep a lot back then. So you're hanging out with a bunch of smelly sheep who don't listen to you for a job that may or may not pay you anything. It may just be sort of your room and board. What are you doing with the sheep? Well, you're protecting the sheep. That's one thing, to be sure. But the other thing you're doing is you're moving the sheep around to places where they can thrive. Sheep are quite capable of eating grass down to the dirt. And if you don't move them, I've never heard of it, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if sheep then start eating the dirt, just because that's all that's there. The shepherd is responsible for creating an environment where the sheep can thrive by making sure they're not carried off by wolves or stolen by... I love sheep rustlers in the message. I just think that's so perfect, because that's what they are. You have to worry about that, and you have to get them to places where they have something to eat, they have the right kind of grass and enough of it, and they have water. Well, for a sheep who has limited needs, and I don't know what they think, if they think much at all about what they want, that is a perfect situation for the sheep. They have been led into abundance. They have been led that they might have life and have it to the full. Because that's what abundance is living a life that has what you need. Not necessarily what you want, because there are lots of things that I want that when I really think about them aren't very good for me. But the things I need are, and the things I need aren't just limited to sort of the smallest part of the pyramid of human needs that Maslow came up with. It's not just enough to drink, enough to eat, and shelter. There's all those other things in there. And that's what abundance is. When we are followers of Jesus, when we've moved into this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are taken to places where we can live abundant lives. Not always the way we think. The best shepherd in the world sometimes can't find the right kind of situation for the sheep. And while, yes, God is not a shepherd in beyond that part, the early part of the metaphor, what we see is that God's interest in us is that we might live abundant lives. And abundance is not measured in money and things. It's not measured in status or any of those things. And the reason why we know this, stepping aside from Scripture entirely if we need to, is there's the studies that have been done on people who are in the process of dying. And what do they regret? Do they regret not going to the office enough? No. Do they regret money as money? No, they don't. Sort of lots of those things that we first think of when we think of abundance never come up. They think of people. They think of relationships they've had. They think of experiences they've had. They talk about that time that they were alone in the prairies and they saw the sunset in all of its glory. That's the kind of thing that people remember at the end of life. The things that created abundance weren't just the things that you can buy and the things you can carry around. And their regrets aren't around that either. A life that's lacking abundance isn't one that doesn't have enough money, although that certainly is a problem. A life that's lacking abundance is a life without relationships, without friends, without family, without people to share your life with. Some people need one person, that's all, and that's kind of, one is all they need. Some people need more, and they have many, many friends. The things that we need to make life worth living aren't purchasable for the most part. They're the experiences that we have and the people we have those experiences with. And if we need a shepherd to get us to those places because of we're sheep, and then if we're the sheep or the shepherd who need to take sheep there, what does that mean? It doesn't mean just working an extra 80 hours a week so you can buy people things. It means looking at people when you talk to them. It means letting people into your life and trying to be a part of other people's lives, not in some kind of weird, pushy way, but because you have a connection, whether it's family or friends, co-workers, whatever it is. We bring people into a life of abundance, not by the giving of things, but of the giving of ourselves. Does that sound familiar when we think of great shepherds? We don't have to die for people. That's not what we're called to do, almost never. But we're called to give of ourselves, of who we are, into people around us, into being vulnerable enough that connection can be made, of being respectful enough that we accept people as they are. Even if they do things we don't like, we begin with the accepting them as they are, because if you don't accept them as they are, they're not going to listen to you about anything. And it may turn out as you listen to them that this is part of who they are, and that's just how it is. Being a shepherd of sheep is hard. It's just hard work. I'm sure there are rewards, but it's just hard work. Being a shepherd of people is occasionally hard work, but it's also often really, I don't want to say easy, but it is easy. Going out for coffee with someone, sitting with someone, talking to somebody, sharing stories and laughing your face off. These are not hard things to do. But they're part of creating an abundant life in that person. And the wonderful thing about this kind of abundance is that it costs us nothing. At least most of the time. And often we gain from it as well. And so the abundant life that we're trying to help other people get into can create a virtuous circle. Whereas we are with them, hoping to increase their abundance, they do the same for us. And it's not about money. I wish we weren't in a culture that measured so many things by numbers, especially money. But it's important for us to remember that money is never the answer to all problems. It's the answer to some problems. If you don't have a car and you need one, well, money is probably a good thing to have. If you're lonely, money isn't as helpful as somebody who is willing to spend some time with you and get to know you. If you're struggling with what it is to follow God, money isn't as useful as someone who says, that is hard. There are times when it's hard to believe. There are times when it's hard to follow God. And you know what? I'll believe for you until you're ready to believe on your own. And I'll be with you through this. And you can say whatever it is that you need to say to me, because I'm here to let you move back into abundance. I thought of looking up abundance in the dictionary just to see what it said, and then I realized I don't want to know what it says. Abundance, a life that is lived to the full, is a life that is filled with things of meaning, actions of meaning, relationships of meaning, different degrees to be sure. But every time I take a moment to read the name of that service people have on their shirt usually and thank them by name, it's such a tiny thing for me. And I think most of the time it's not a very big thing for other people. But just now and then, you'll see people's body language change. And this tiny thing that costs me virtually nothing has created just a bit more abundance in their life. It's not all hard work following Jesus. It's not all hard work doing the things we're called to do. Helping people into a life of abundance is often spending time with people that you want to spend time with anyway. And that's just a wonderful thing. We need shepherding. But one of the ways we're shepherded is by becoming shepherds ourselves. I find it so much easier to accept other people's care for me since I started caring for people. Because before, I was always suspicious, wondering what they wanted. And it wasn't until I started giving to people because I liked them, giving to people because they needed something, that I realized, wait a second, all those people back then that I thought were trying to get something out of me, they wanted nothing from me other than for me to have an abundant life. So this week, I don't know what it's going to look like for you any more than I know what it's going to look like for me. But one of the things I'm going to try to do is be aware of how I can create abundance or create the opportunity for abundance. The people I work with, the people I live with, the people I just bump into. Because that's what we're called to do. As we're taken care of as sheep, we then go out and take care of whatever sheep we have. Some we've known for a long time, some we do know their names and all the rest. And some of them are sheep that just sort of ended up in our flock. Maybe you only see them for a little bit, but we can still move them towards abundance rather than anything else. Amen.